So if you're a fan of 80s movies, you might remember or be familiar with a movie called Trading Places. And in this film, there are these uber wealthy guys who take this commodities broker and strip him of everything. They take his Manhattan townhouse, they freeze all his assets, they cancel his credit cards, they throw him in jail so that when he comes out, he will be on the streets. And meanwhile, they take somebody who's already living on the streets and put him in the commodity broker's house, give him the butler, the car, the accounts, the job, everything. All for a $1 bet to see if nature or nurture has the most influence. It's a well-known trope. It's been done many times. The Prince and the Pauper, Rich Mouse, Poor Mouse, Freaky Friday. All of them might have their origins in the parable that we just heard Jeff deliver so beautifully of the rich man and Lazarus, which is also a kind of trading places experience. Now, unlike some of Jesus' parables, this parable is super easy to recompose in contemporary and modern language and experience. Once there was a billionaire who lived lavishly, had multiple lavish mansions and addresses, had the corporate jet, had the helicopter, had numerous partners and prostitutes, and also a horde of lawyers to keep them out of trouble, or at least to, you know, put off indictments and delay litigation endlessly. And at the gate of one of the billionaire's residences, there lay a poor man named Lazarus, who longed to just be at the buffet that the rich man feasted at every day for just like a minute. But he knew that was out of reach, so he satisfied himself simply by getting scraps out of the garbage can once a week. But even the billionaire thought that that was a problem. Because obviously this Lazarus was lazy and wasn't going to pull himself up by his bootstraps with handouts. Well, both men died, as all people do. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, a euphemism for heaven, and the rich man, the billionaire, well, let's just say he never has to worry about being too cold. It's very rare for Jesus to talk about the afterlife. That might surprise you. The afterlife simply wasn't a major component or aspect of Jesus' teaching. But there are a few instances, two stories in particular, where Jesus goes there and talks about the afterlife and who goes where and why. But this is very rare for Jesus to do. What isn't rare, what is actually extremely common, not only in the teaching of Jesus, but in the teaching of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is to find teachings about money and economic injustice. The Bible is packed with lessons about money and economic injustice. 3,000 verses in all. If we took scissors to the Bible and we cut out all the verses on money and economic injustice, our Bible would be in absolute tatters. But that's pretty much what we've done. In our culture, we've been extraordinarily successful at ignoring all of that in the Bible, preferring our mythology, our lessons, our scriptures, our values about wealth, which justifies the income gap, no matter what it is or where it's been or how it has grown in the past 20 or 30 years. The American mythology about income, the income gap about wealth, is that the rich worked hard for their money, they are entitled to it. Those who don't have money, it's their fault, they're lazy, they're not skilled enough, whatever. And there's really no questions to ask about it. That's just the way it is. Retooling our system into something more just and equitable, into some kind of redistribution of wealth, begins with the awareness that wealth has already been redistributed away from the many and toward the few. In other words, income disparity, where we are right now, it didn't happen by accident. It wasn't driven by blind economic market forces. It was engineered. And if it was designed this way, surely we can design it to be a different way. In addition to scaring the hell out of us, potentially, this parable raises big questions about salvation and who exactly needs saving. Who is in hell right now? Is it Lazarus and the many millions of Lazaruses around the world, or is it the billionaires, or both? Lazarus clearly had a hellish existence on earth. The rich man appeared to live a better life, but he failed to see those with less as his siblings, as his family, for whom he is also responsible, which suggests that he was in a form of hell, a different sort of hell. Maybe the rich man's sin was not so much his wealth, although that was a problem, but the fact that he failed to realize he was already in hell because he thought only of himself and denied Lazarus equal status in this life and in the afterlife. Did you notice that when the rich man cries out to Abraham, he says, "Hey, send Lazarus to dip the finger in water to cool my tongue." He's treating Lazarus like his water boy, still seeing him as an inferior, as a servant, as somebody who is less than. He's still stuck in the same classist stuff. And then he wants Lazarus to be his messenger and go back to his family and warn his brothers and sisters, his siblings, to change their ways so they don't end up in the same place. And Abraham says, "Oh no, they have Moses and the prophets. If they can't listen to Moses and the prophets, well, that's the way it is." Lazarus says, "No, but if somebody rises from the dead, surely they'll listen." They said, "No." He says, "No." Abraham says, "No. Even if someone rises from the dead, that won't be enough." So the good news of this parable, which in a parable that doesn't sound like there's much good news, is to believe that we can be saved, that others can be saved, that this earth can be saved from the dangers of a few having too much, if we take heed to the Bible's messages about wealth over our own. And that's hard work, because we are all really baked in to our economic system and take it for granted and assume that this is all we've got and we can't change it. It's hard work to change this very hardened reality, and we might need someone who rises from the dead to convince us. I think this inclusion of someone rising from the dead is not a throwaway line. Our faith is based on a person who was put to death for caring for the poor and marginalized, proclaiming justice and mercy, protesting abuses of power, killed by state violence allied with religion. He was raised from the dead to prove that God is on the side of the poor and the oppressed. Those who suffer abuse will prevail. That God doesn't toy with our lives like the two investors in Trading Places. But God did send someone to trade places with us. Jesus gave up his place in the bosom of Abraham to come to the hot and getting hotter realm of earth to show us all saints and sinners, left and right, poor and wealthy, what is most valuable and precious in the eyes of the owner and investor of all things. Amen. Amen. Ashe. Namaste.